Hi, I'm Stephen Vincent. Thank you for joining me for this edition of The Freedom Message, live on bbsradio.com and live on www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. Remember, you have the option of either listening to the show on bbsradio.com. You can find that link also on my webpage, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, or viewing the show via the Mogulus player embedded on the webpage. And today we have a report for you on the rally in Philadelphia. And apparently in Philadelphia, part of the rally was marked by cemetery markers for the veterans that were laid to rest during the war in Afghanistan and in Iraq. So we'll go ahead and look at a little piece. Okay, so there were the cemetery markers for the veterans who have served our country in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now a prayer that was made to invoke the rally in Philadelphia this weekend on Saturday the 10th.
Who knew that there is a God in heaven? Unite our prayers today with St. John. And now we go to the New Testament and join our prayers with the first disciples who joined them. And now we go to the state left prison, tortured by the Sanhedrin. And it's fitting because of all these secret prisons and tortures we are hearing about, it's good to pray this prayer. But they, when they heard it, lifted up their voice with one accord to God Almighty and said, Lord, it is you who didst make a heaven and earth and the sea, who didst say by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our things, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers assembled together. You, your families, and especially one Paul, to protect you, your families, and especially one Paul, the future president of the to protect you, your families, and especially one Paul.
So a nice invocation from a Catholic priest in Philadelphia, Philadelphia being a very Catholic city. And let's see, we have the largest Ron Paul Revolution banner ever here for you. This is something worth having a look at. I don't have the dimensions on that, but it looks like it's got to be at least 50 feet long. And supporters started, of course, gathering early and whipping up the enthusiasm around the area on the streets of Philadelphia. And what we're going to do for you now is, we've got the rendition of God Bless America at the very beginning of the rally. We'll play that for you now.
Sing it with me, folks. God bless America. Won't you sing it with me, folks? God.
And then that was, by the way, Rocky Lynn, who is apparently a very well-known country music star. I don't follow country music, so I'm not aware of Mr. Lynn, but apparently he's quite well-known. So there's a celebrity endorsement for Ron Paul. There's some crowd shots of the crowd, estimated to be about 5,000 people, which does make it about twice the size of the biggest Ron Paul rally to date. Give you some idea about how big the rally actually was, and keep in mind it's pretty darn cold in Philadelphia at this time of year. So, kudos to all the people in the Northeast who turned out for that. We have some more here. Bill Dumas, the Ron Paul campaign videographer and editor, is here in this clip, sort of revving the crowd up, so to speak. Let's have a look at that.
Very excited. Just a moment.
At the rally, and let's go ahead and listen to about a 10-minute piece of Ron Paul's speech to the Philadelphia rally.
Until 1913, and we did rather well. Economic growth, and we did rather well. Economic growth was fine. Economic growth was fine. We had our faults and our problems, but economic growth was found. The CPI was found. Since we have had those new inventions of 1913, 1913 was not a very good year. Not only did we have the IRS come in, but we had the Federal Reserve. And then, of course, during that decade, history. was in charge, and they prohibited the airlines from having guns on the airplane. It is what makes people motivated and wiser in their decisions on protecting the management of this. And now, you know, has anybody here management of this? And now, you know, has anybody here management of this? And now, you know, has anybody here ever had in some of the TSA agents actually are embarrassed by what they have to do. I get very annoyed in airports, but then I have to remind myself. And I remember clearly the oath of office that I've taken on numerous times. Whether it's to go in office or when I went into the. All enemies. What happens is people come and they say that we're supposed to give up.
Good. So a piece of Ron Paul's presentation at the Philadelphia rally. Again, the crowd estimated to be about 5,000 people, or twice that of the next largest Ron Paul rally to date. Congressman Paul's comments were, pretty much standard for what he's been giving in his speeches lately, recapping many of the themes that are important with the campaign. But nonetheless, he still is speaking truth to power and not afraid to state in public that which is abundantly obvious and abundantly true. So we have him to thank for that. Let's go ahead and have a look at some of the media coverage. CNN, we'll do that first. There's two clips here. One, a sort of pre-interview clip before they interview him after the rally, and then another clip, which is their actual interview with Ron Paul after the rally.
Pictures from Independence Mall in Philly, a little shaky, but it's pictures from Independence Mall in Philly, a little shaky, but it's there. This is the Republican candidate as the keynote speaker. Paul is locked in low single digits in most polls, but he still managed to raise more than $5 million for his presidential bid last quarter. That's about as much as several of his higher profile rivals, what they raised. We hope to speak to Mr. Paul when he gets done with this rally. He's promised to join us on the air here, and hopefully it'll all work out.
Okay.
Test.
Okay. Okay, we're back. So I just thought I'd make a few comments here. It's really just increasingly intriguing how when Ron Paul manages incredible feats like raising $4 million plus in a day and drawing a crowd of 5,000 in one of the largest cities of the country, and a reporter from a mainstream establishment media network simply feels obligated to downplay it and make it appear as though this is an insubstantial event. Just her attitude alone, there's sort of this sing-songiness to her voice, which liltingly diminishes that the crowd, and oh well, isn't it just kind of cute and quaint, because well, we all know that Ron Paul really doesn't amount to anything, and this is the attitude that is being projected very subtly, comments like, well, somehow, God only knows how, but somehow he managed to raise $4.3 million. You don't somehow manage to raise $4.3 million in a day. You raise $4.3 million in a day because you're speaking a message that people want to hear and that they identify with and that they support. Okay, so I'll play the actual CNN interview with you. It's just a source of continual fascination for me how these mainstream media so-called journalists continually downplay Ron Paul and the accomplishments of the campaign. Utterly amazing.
Attention. He set a one-day online fundraising record this week, and that has some folks taking a second attention. He set a one-day online fundraising record this week, and that has some folks taking a second look. He joins us live from the campaign trail at Independence Hall.
Declared for the presidency in the Republican Party, and I stand for liberty. I stand for non-intervention sport policy and bringing our troops home. Declared for the presidency in the Republican Party, and I stand for liberty. And I want very limited government and maximum amount of freedom, and a lot of Americans love the idea.
Do you like the idea that people are kind of calling you the anti-current administration Republican?
Well, no, I don't particularly like that because although I don't endorse most of the policies, but I haven't endorsed most of the policies of the Democrats for a long, long time. I endorse the Constitution, and we've drifted from the Constitution, and my supporters understand this. They want constitutional law, limited government, maximum freedom, sound money, non-intervention foreign policy, and we have gone so far from that, I would say that I am a pro-constitutionalist, pro-freedom individual rather than being narrowly defined as being anti one single administration.
And so a lot of folks might say that, you know, your campaign is kind of a throwback to, you know, the fundamental approaches of government. Yet, when we talk about the amount of money that you were able to raise in such a short amount of time, I mean, you're light years ahead of many others in terms of using the internet, really using this kind of modern day approach to winning support. How'd you come up with that, and why? Was this kind of a page out of the Howard Dean kind of how-to?
No, I think it's exactly opposite of being a throwback. The government is a throwback. The current government we have, our current trends are a throwback to tyranny, where government runs things and individual freedom is minimized. America was all based on maximizing the freedom of the individual, and we've lost that. But that's a new idea. Tyranny has been around for thousands of years, and we have something new and wonderful, and we want to just restore that trend that we were given a couple hundred years ago. But in terms of history, it's a very, very new idea. I don't think Howard Dean had anything to do with what what we're talking about.
Now, how do you break it down to, I mean, this is a scramble now. We're looking at less than a year from now, we will know who is president, or at least who is elected president, you know, of the United States. So, you know, are you really kind of cranking up the momentum of trying to reintroduce yourself to a lot of folks who don't, you know, who don't consider you a front runner, even though you're maybe the front runner in terms of fundraising? You still feel like you have a lot to prove to people?
Well, I think the final proof is getting votes in a primary. But I think obviously the strength of the campaign is much bigger than we've been given credit. That there's a lot of people who love the idea of freedom and limited. That there's a lot of people who love the idea of freedom and limited government. So I would say we're well on our way. That there's a lot of people who love the idea of freedom. And
the candidates stand X, Y, Z. You've already reestablished the candidates stand X, Y, Z. You've already reestablished the candidates stand X, Y, Z. You've already reestablished the fact that you have been, you know, anti-Iraq war. But now we're finding out in recent kind of struggling. A lot more people are struggling right now. So what's your best?
You can't deal with the economy without dealing with the foreign policy, because the spending overseas. You can't deal with the economy without is what's bankrupting the country and why the dollar is weak. And the Soviet system didn't collapse because we attacked them. They collapsed for financial reasons.
Okay.
So you
most of your time, Republican presidential candidate. Good luck to you in the race, and thanks so much. Most of your time, Republican presidential candidate. Good luck to you in the race, and thanks so much. Most of your time, Republican presidential candidate. Good luck to you in the race, and thanks so much for your service.
Good. So I think that Ron Paul's side of that clip was excellent. I think that the interviewer, I don't know her name, is horrible. It's amazing that she's on the air, since she is unable to actually ask a cogent question and uses about three times more words than necessary to ask a question, when in fact when and if there is an actual question there. But what she does seem to spend a lot of time doing is planting images and words to viewers that will obviously bring them to a negative conclusion about Congressman Paul. And apparently there's a new memo. A new memo went out to the media. This memo includes, when you speak to or about Dr. Paul, introduce him as the anti-administration Republican. You should also use the word throwback frequently, and you should also compare him to a Democrat, Howard Dean. You should also say that he has a lot to prove. I don't think I've seen very few interviews in the last few days that did not include these four major points. This is, again, another memo went out. The old memo is apparently been tossed because those points weren't working anymore. So here are the new talking points from the media. He's an anti-establishment, anti-administration Republican, in other words, a traitor to his party. He's a throwback. He wants to go back to something in the past and back to a perfect past that never existed or something like that. He's like Howard Dean in that he makes great use of the internet but ultimately amounts to nothing, and that he has a lot to prove because, you know, an internet presence is just not enough to actually win an election. So these are the apparent talking points that are now out in the media. You know, she makes allusions to the back of the pack and, you know, that people are getting to know you and what's your best pitch? You know, as if it's sort of like, Well, you're not going to get anywhere with me or these viewers, but go ahead and give it your best shot anyway, since we've got you on the show. You know, you might as well. That's sort of the attitude. And it's really important for us to understand this. This is that general attitude underlying these interviews frequently is really what they're after. You know, it's not the particular answers to questions, it's not even the questions themselves. It's the attitude that they're trying to get across to people. So let's see, let's go ahead to some more coverage. This is Ron Paul. Let's see, Ron Paul on CNN Newsroom.
Question for you. Do you recognize this guy? He may be the best kept secret in the race for president. A sit down with Ron Paul. Republican candidate
Paul may be trailing in the polls, but he cannot be ignored. Paul may be trailing in the polls, but he cannot be ignored. They call it the Ron Paul run for the Republican presidential nomination is fueled by online $1 million in one day through online donations. His message, which draws support in dollars in one day through online donations. His message, which draws support of civil liberties, a vow to abolish the tax code, and a fierce opposition to war.
Bring our troops home now!
Paul is come under fire for calling the war on terrorism fictitious and for saying the 9/11 attacks were a response to U.S. foreign policy.
But let me tell you, they don't hate us because we are free and prosperous. That is not the reason. If we don't understand this, but let me tell you, they don't hate us because we are free and that we cannot solve our problem.
But with an expanding war chest and adoring crowds, the 72-year-old grandfather can relish his status as a political maverick. He says he's the one to shake things up. Pittsburgh. He worked as a physician before entering politics. Right now, polls show him drawing support from a little more than 3%. Pittsburgh. He worked as a physician before entering politics. Right now, polls show him drawing support from a little more than 3% wide.
Okay, so overall, a quite positive report on CBS. I certainly like the start of the report where he's called the hottest name in politics. And overall, an objective and fair and balanced report on CBS. Let's see what Fox News, local Fox News in Philadelphia, has to say about the Ron Paul rally in Philadelphia this weekend.
Is the Patriot Act. He's an anti-establishment favorite who visited the stacks and opposes the Patriot Act. He's an anti-establishment favorite who visited the stacks and opposes the Patriot Act. He's an anti-establishment favorite who visited the city.
Buzz online. He's rumored to have more YouTube subscribers than any other presidential candidate. He's helping to pull disenfranchised Democrats, Republicans, and yes, even some anarchists away from other candidates. You could find them all at his Hope for America tour stop in Center City today.
Several thousand people packed on to Independence Mall Saturday to support Ron Paul. Heidi Schertz is a 36-year-old business owner and advertising executive. Heidi Schertz is a 36-year-old business owner and advertising executive. She paid until now.
The country is headed in the wrong direction, and this is the first time ever that I've seen anyone with integrity and promise, and I trust him.
The New Jersey resident has been to several Ron Paul rallies. Evident.
Yeah. There's no segregation here. It's all we the people. And that's what the whole message is about. And this is more about the movement than it is just about,
yeah.
There's no segregation here. It's all.
I think he's like one of the few candidates that has really inspired me in the sense that he talks about liberty and freedom and the Constitution. And I really think that's important for our country.
Paul signed autographs. Paul stand a chance against candidates with bigger names. Paul stand a chance against candidates with bigger names and bigger campaign coffers.
For me, it's not about the R's and the D's anymore.
Just blogging, but buying into his message. Earlier this month, he raised $4.5 million blogging. But says he'll need $12 million by the end of the year to win New Hampshire.
Good. So yet another very positive report. They admit that he really is gaining quite a following. Really is. So some objective. Now, we do get better coverage, of course, on a local level, less bias. Apparently, they don't always get the memo at the local level, whereas on the national level, we know what tends to happen there. So let's see. Let's go ahead now. Congressman Paul was on Face the Nation, and that's certainly a significant appearance. Let's go ahead and listen to some of what he had to say on Face the Nation on Sunday.
The Houston area. Congressman, I have to be honest with you. Until you got on the Internet last week, and raised about $4 million.
Confession I have to make is I didn't do it. My campaign people did it. The people who volunteered, which was November 5th.
And who was that? This person.
His name is Kleiman. Which was November 5th.
And who was that? This person.
His name is Kleiman. I talked to him once on the phone to thank him, but I've never met him. He's never been involved in politics. And he heard about me, about the war issue, looked up the website. He said, boy, I agree with everything he says. It's the first time he's ever gotten involved. He says, I think I'll raise him some money. And he did it. And it just goes to show, I think, how powerful the message is that we have. I don't think it's me, myself. I don't think it's the organization as much as the philosophy of limited government and freedom that people are just starved for.
Let me just ask you, and I are probably close to the same age. Did you know anything about the Internet or much about it when you got into this campaign?
I was pretty much, I wouldn't say that I was anything like a computer expert. I don't know how to program or anything. But I've used a computer, especially since I went back to Congress in 97. That's when I got my first computer, and I used it a lot for mostly research. I mean, it's just, to me, unbelievable what you can find out on the Internet.
It's very interesting. You have advocated pulling out of Iraq.
That's right.
What do you feel about Iran? Do you see that as a threat to this country?
No, I think...
You don't?
No, I think Iran. I think our policy toward Iran is a threat. That's what I fear. You know, I fear that tomorrow we might bomb Iran. That really scares me. But Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. Our CIA said they might, and they're thinking about it. But they've committed no crimes. Matter of fact, the UN inspectors say that they have had no evidence that they're working on a nuclear weapon. So the fact that we might bomb them, that our other candidates say that they won't take anything off the table, even the nuclear first strike, That's what really scares me. If we don't like $100 oil, wait till it hits $200 oil. We bomb Iran.
So we just leave them.
Scares me. If we don't like $100 oil, wait till it hits $200 oil. We bomb Iran.
So we just leave them there and let them go about their business. And if they get a nuclear weapon,
the Cold War, and we won the Cold War. We didn't have to go to a nuclear war. We won that by being strong. The Cold War. And we won the Cold War. We didn't have to go to a nuclear war. We won that by being Khrushchev. At the height of that crisis, we agreed to take Khrushchev. At the height of that crisis, we agreed to take missiles out of Turkey. Khrushchev. At the height of that crisis, we agreed to take missiles out of Turkey.
We also had as many nuclear weapons as they had.
Right. Have evidence that they've been turning over information to the North Koreans. We reward have evidence that they've been turning over information to the North Koreans. We reward people who get nuclear weapons. The Pakistanis have had a nuclear weapon. They have a military nuclear weapons, and we need to neutralize our hostility because we build up incentives for those in nuclear weapons, and we need to nuclear weapons, and we need to neutralize our hostility because we build up incentives for those individuals to want to get a nuclear weapon. And I think the whole thing
come tax. You want to do away with that? You're anti-United Nations. You're income tax. You want to do away with that? You're anti-United Nations. You're anti-World Bank. You're income tax. You want to do away with that? You're anti-United Nations.
That into a pro. I'm pro-constitution. I'm pro-liberty. I'm pro. That into a pro. I'm pro-constitution. I'm into a pro. I'm pro-constitution. I'm pro-liberty. I'm pro-sound money. I'm pro-states' rights. I'm pro-liberty. Anti-something means you have to be pro-something. And socialism and government controls and invading our homes and loss of our privacy. That is what the socialism and government controls and...
Great. Well, I think that was a very good piece from Dr. Paul. Bob Schieffer did try to paint him into the box of being just against everything, and asked the question, well, what do you think government ought to do? And, of course, you know, we in the freedom movement believe that government ought to do rather little, and the less that it does, the better that we are generally off. So a lot of the things that we take for granted as functions of government are certainly being called into question by Ron Paul and his freedom message. They also spoke about Iran, and it's very brave of Congressman Paul to state that it is our policy towards Iran that is the threat. It's our policy towards Iran that is the threat to our national security. I think that the issue of Pakistan points that up. Now, Pakistan was, to whatever extent is possible in a country like that with no history of constitutional government, it had a relatively quote-unquote democratic government until Musharraf, the current president, as the head of the military, overthrew the established quote-unquote democratically elected government of Benazir Bhutto and installed himself as dictator of Pakistan. The United States has supported that. Pakistan is a country, primarily Muslim, almost 100% Muslim country with nuclear weapons. Now, if we have an interest, it is in seeing Pakistan be a stable government, not destabilized by a dictatorial regime, and giving cause to the rise of radical Islam in the country where there had been none previously. So the so-called democratic forces, who are signified by Benazir Bhutto, are of course making a play to come back to power and push Musharraf out. He has established martial law and set up a scene for some kind of a showdown and confrontation, civil war of some sort in Pakistan. In other words, Pakistan is becoming politically destabilized by U.S. foreign policy towards that country. If we had supported the democratically elected regime, if we had supported the democratic process in Pakistan, such as it existed, to whatever limited extent that might have been true, we would not be today faced with the possibility, ultimately, in a few years' time, of chaos in Pakistan and wondering whether their nuclear weapons, who, by the way, actually do have missiles and actually do have the ability to deliver those bombs to a target, unlike Iran, which does not, having those weapons fall into the hands of Muslim extremists. Again, blowback created by our very own policies. The only candidate who understands that and represents that to the American public is, of course, Congressman Ron Paul. So let's see. Let's go ahead and listen to the other half of that interview with Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation on Sunday.
Again, with Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul, you do not see the threats to this country that so
sold Korea better on 9/11 than we did Washington, D.C. So I think we're in the wrong places, and we sold Korea better on 9/11 than we did Washington, D.C. So I think we're in the wrong places, and we forget about our own country. And I think we're team new ones in Iraq. This is why we're in trouble. We have a weakened national defense, and also we're antagonizing those people.
All home.
Sure. Korea, how long should we stay in Korea? How long should we stay in Europe? Why should we give them that subsidies? Why are we in Japan? I'd bring
all home.
Sure. Korea, how long should we stay in Korea? How long should we stay in Europe? But I'm not an isolationist. I don't believe in walls. I believe in free trade and maximum travel, sharing of ideas, diplomacy, and talking to people. It's actually the opposite of isolationism. Today we have a sort of a neo-isolationism. We have less friends and more enemies. We go on the own. We don't talk to people. And I think that's the wrong way to go. I think we could have a much stronger national defense if we changed our policy. I'm not just for changing tactics in Iraq. I'm for changing our foreign policy that has gone astray, not in this administration, but maybe over the last 100 years.
You also want to go back to the gold standard.
Yeah.
Why?
Because paper doesn't make any sense. Years.
You also
want to make fun of the gold standard, but what people should be making fun of is this idea that if government comes up short, they just print it. And that's what we've been doing. And it undermines the middle class. It makes poor people pay an invisible tax, which is called inflation. There's a transfer of wealth when you have paper, and it undermines the middle class. It makes poor people pay an invisible tax, which is called inflation. Money from the middle class and the poor to the wealthy. That's why you have billionaires on Wall Street, and you have people in the middle class now. They can't make ends meet, and why people on retirement benefits, their cost of living is going up much faster than their income. So inflation, that is fiat money, the opposite of gold, is very, very destructive to the political and economic process.
One final question. Are you going to go back to the Internet and have another of these fundraising days?
I'm not, but I hear there's another one coming on the 16th. I think it has something to do with the Boston Tea Party. So I'll tell you what, there may be another big day, and I will be encouraging them, just because of the laws, their independent expenditures, I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, it sounds great. So if we have another $4 million day, I guess it won't hurt our campaign.
About 30 seconds left. Do you really sincerely believe
that might happen, but I'm very realistic. But compared to, you know, that might happen, but I'm very realistic. But compared to 12 months ago, I would say that it's much more likely now. But I also...
Okay, so yet another great segment with Ron Paul on the show with Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation. So they spoke about defense, and Bob Schieffer asked about, well, you'd think that we should bring all the troops home, and you know, Congressman Paul responded, as he often does, that, you know, what we need is a real defense rather than an actual offensive empire orientation. And he responded that he doesn't believe in walls. He believes in actually an open openness to policy, free trade, free commerce, freedom of movement of people and ideas. Bob Schieffer also tried to use the go back to the gold standard argument, and I don't think that we need to really respond to that when the U.S. dollar is crashing through the floor. So certainly something needs to be done about monetary policy, and Congressman Paul has the only solution, which is some kind of currency backed by gold and precious metals. The subject of the Tea Party came up, and I'm glad to hear that came out. I certainly think that we're looking at a really good situation for the upcoming Tea Party on the 16th. And in fact, I'm going to have an interesting announcement for you tomorrow regarding that. Right now, the Tea Party has about 7,500 people signed up to donate $100, including myself, and that would, of course, be $7.5 million in a single day, and we still have quite a substantial amount of time between now and then, about a full month, more than a month. So we could very well be looking at something like a $15 million day. It's entirely possible. So let's see. Let's go ahead and I'm going to play the clip for you of the Boston Tea Party. And just to remind you about what that's all about.
About destruction.